W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The body of a woman abducted by Hamas during the October 7th terror attacks has been found near Gaza's El Shifa Hospital. That's according to Israeli Defense Forces.
They found the body of 65-year-old Yehudit Weiss in a building adjacent to the Al Shifa Hospital, where the IDF have been conducting this raid over the last couple of days. So this is the first hostage, as far as we know, that has been found by the IDF in its operation in Gaza. And obviously this is a terrible news for her family. And it comes just as we have been hearing that there is progress in these talks, hopefully to try and reach a deal.
ABC's Patrick Reeval. Federal judge declaring a mistrial in the case against former Louisiana police officer Brett Hackinson because the jury couldn't reach a verdict. He was facing charges of violating Breonna Taylor's civil rights. The Marines say Commandant General Eric Smith has been released from inpatient care but will soon have a procedure done to repair a heart valve that doctors say contributed to his cardiac arrest. This is ABC News. Social media owner Elon Musk coming under fire for a post on his X platform appearing to agree with an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory.
Musk posted agreement with the false claim that Jewish communities have been pushing the exact kind of dialectical hatred against whites that they claim to want people to stop using against them. Now, in later posts overnight, Musk appeared to backtrack from his earlier remark, but White House National Security spokesman John Kirby told George somebody like Musk, the world's richest person behind Tesla and X, stoking anti-Semitism is reprehensible and unacceptable.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. IBM confirms it's pulled advertising from X after a report found the platform ran IBM ads next to pro-Nazi material. RSV infections rising so fast in parts of the country that emergency rooms in Georgia and Texas are nearly full. In response, federal officials say they're releasing more doses of the new RSV shot for newborns. Andy Field, ABC News.
A flooded basement, a backed up sewer, a fire in your home or garage. Each of these can be devastating, and no one understands that better than Midwest Restoration. 24/7, 365 days a year, they are the ones to call to help with your damage to your property and oftentimes to your family. Midwest Restoration, family owned since 2008, they've built their incredible reputation on being there for those in need. No one wants to have to make this call, but if you do, it's 920-MIDWEST. That's 920-MIDWEST.
Mino and the Mayor.
Jim Vandenhoevel, our very special guest, Vietnam vet. Again, you had to be saying to yourself, I am not on the farm in freedom anymore.
You know, it was scary for a while, but then you realize, and we all realize in our platoon, we kind of laugh about it because you had to keep your sanity, and that was one of the ways you did it. You almost got taken out today, and if you didn't do that, you wouldn't be able to stay focused on your job.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Low unemployment is holding steady in Wisconsin, 3.2% in October compared to 3.1% in September. Department of Workforce Development economist Dennis Winters.
People are getting jobs, they're getting paid well, and hence they're spending that money. And as you know, that's what drives the U.S. economy, pretty much.
More than 3 million people are working in non-farm jobs in Wisconsin. That's close to a record. Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher and Tom Tiffany were the only two members of Wisconsin's delegation to vote against a bill to avoid a government shutdown. The bill divides government funding into two portions with new deadlines in January and February. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
Badgers ready for a fight Saturday night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers hope to snap a three-game losing streak when they host the Nebraska Cornhuskers Saturday night. The kickoff at Camp Randall set for 6:30. After beating Wisconsin and Madison last weekend, Northwestern has named their interim head coach, Dave Braun, as the Wildcats' new head coach. The 38-year-old Braun was hired as a defensive coordinator just 10 months ago. Baseball, the Brewers introduced bench coach Pat Murphy as the team's new manager. 41-year-old Ricky Weeks will take Murphy's place, but with a new title, associate manager, with a chance that maybe someday he could be in charge.
I'm very thankful to Mark, Matt, obviously, Murphy here. To me, it's a very good homecoming for me. Kids was born, I mean, basically raised in the baseball field, and now being able to be here, I mean, you get a little emotional about it. Come back to a city, to basically where I grew up at, it really means a lot to me.
That's the Brewers associate manager, Ricky Weeks, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies. Lows around 34. West winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 43. Mainly clear sky. Tomorrow night, lows around 30. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 59.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. If you're tired of one-sided conversations and mean-spirited rhetoric, it's time to listen and engage. This is The Rational Revolution, a look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. Now here's your host, Chris Elfheim.
Well, hi. Welcome to The Rational Revolution. This is Chris Elfheim. I'm here with my favorite guest host, Mr. Tony Palmieri. Is it Dr. Palmieri?
Yes, but I don't really go by that.
I didn't know that.
It's a PhD.
Yeah, it's a PhD.
Well,
doctor.
Doc, I didn't know.
Doc, I think we got to work on that. I think we got to give him some love on that.
I mean, you earned it. I tell my students to call me Tony.
Call you Tony. Okay, well, if I say Doc every now and then, it's fine. Welcome to our show. Again, this is The Rational Revolution, where we do our very best to have civilized conversations about things that matter to us around the kitchen tables. A lot of politics involved, but again, from a purple point of view. That may mean we get a strong blue and we get a strong red and we get somewhere in the middle, but we really do our best to have some great conversations. Tonight, our guest is going to be former Congressman Reed Ribble, a friend of mine. He actually is literally landing in Tennessee right now. So he will be jumping on the phone as soon as his feet reach the ground and he finds his phone once again. So we're looking forward to that coming in. In the meantime, Tony, what's been happening? Now, I wasn't here last week. I left the boys unsupervised.
Did you hear the show?
I did. I did actually hear. Where was I?
I don't know.
Does anybody know where I was?
You were in Green Bay somewhere.
No, weren't you like with the older folks doing some sort of
stuff? Oh, I was working.
Yeah, quote unquote working.
It's funny that I have to look at both of you and say, where was I?
Yes. We knew kind of
I was actually in the big town of Winnicottee. I was in Winnicottee doing a little estate planning.
Okay.
That's right. That's
cool.
Right. So I did get to hear the end of it just enough to text in and harass you a little bit.
I think we did okay.
It.
We tried to make sure we stayed in the purple spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult, but it was civil.
Yeah. You know, in the end, you definitely had red and you definitely had blue.
Yes.
Which means that creates a little purple.
Exactly.
So you win. You
exactly.
win.
Exactly.
But I get to come back this time and have a little bit of fun, so I enjoy that. So let's talk a little bit as we're waiting for the congressman to jump in. Let's just talk about what's been going on around the world or around the town lately. What do you got?
Well, the government's staying open. How about that?
What? Imagine
How about
that. I did actually hear that Congressman Mike Gallagher voted against it.
I don't know what that's all about, but it's really interesting.
So did Tom Tiffany as well.
So the Republicans have been in this, you know, internal battle now for a long time. They got rid of the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. They brought in this ultra-conservative Mike Johnson, new Speaker of the House. And Mike Johnson negotiated this deal to keep government open, which is essentially the same deal that McCarthy had negotiated.
Because guess what? We have to run the government.
We have to run the government.
It's like, oh, wait, maybe we should pay people.
Yeah. And so, but apparently it's only keeping it open until January. There's going to be another big battle. Mm-hmm. And in February, there's going to be another big battle. But again, this is all because we have a Democrat as president and the Republicans running the House of Representatives. I mean, when Trump was president, Republican, and we had a Republican Congress, they never threatened to shut the government down. So this is all partisan, is it not?
Well, I don't know that you can deny that there's gamesmanship at play.
It's a lot of gamesmanship.
But I think that it's even more dysfunctional now than it was before.
Oh, my goodness.
There's infighting that's going on that I think, I mean, a lot of my Republican friends are shivering. They just kind of shiver. So it's just, you know, they've got their issues that they need to work out. And I think that, you know, at this point in time in our history, you've got the bullies are trying to take over the playground. But that's the way that I see it.
Here's what I don't get. How do people think that it's a strong argument to say either give us what we want in this budget negotiation or the military doesn't get paid or people don't get their Social Security checks? How is holding people hostage like that supposed to be a persuasive argument?
Yeah, it's not. But and again, I think I said this once before. This whole, you know, they're arguing on issues that take more time to think. There are issues that could be fixed, right? We do I don't know if anybody could argue that we do have a spending issue. There is a spending issue. But instead of having serious conversations about what, why, where, and when, it's just kind of this grandstanding that goes on at the end. And that's not the way to fix it. I've said this before, I'll say it forever. I am a fan of streamlining. I'm a fan of efficiency. I'm a fan of removing duplication. That does not mean in any way getting rid of any services. It doesn't mean not taking care of people. It means we can identify if there is overlap that's unnecessary.
Yes.
And I think that's a rational thing to do. So it's okay to say we have to figure out what we're going to do here. It's not okay to say, let's just stop doing everything we've done before because we don't like it.
Because we don't like it.
It doesn't work that way. You can't take your ball and walk off the playground.
That's true.
It doesn't work in this world.
Now, in Wisconsin, we did have a major bipartisan deal this week, and it was on the Brewers stadium.
Yeah.
So taxpayers will be ponying up a substantial chunk of change to keep the Brewers here until 2050, I believe, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an expert on that topic. I do know that where it started and where it ended are two different things.
Yeah.
So there was some compromise on it. And again, largely bipartisan in terms of passing. I don't remember the numbers on it, but I think there was 8. Or 11 Democrats voted yes?
I can't remember the exact numbers, but
the Republicans were actually more split on it than the Democrats.
They were. Well, how do you feel in general about the idea of public dollars for these kind of private sports stadiums, privately run?
I'm not a fan of millionaires and billionaires getting to be bigger millionaires and billionaires when taxpayers are paying for something. But I think that if we look deep into the deep closets, we would find that actually goes on all the time.
Oh, sure it does.
All the time. So it is a reality of we enjoy and we get value as a state out of these large organizations being here. I mean, we're sitting in Green Bay. We are surrounded by Green Bay stuff. Now, I'm a shareholder, so that makes me a big deal. Me and my grandma share one. But, you know, there is value that comes from it, but we still are in a situation of, again, trying to balance. What do we have money for?
Right.
And when we have a hard time funding our public schools properly, or again, even safety and fire, we would love to have more patrol officers on the streets, drunk driving, whatnot. We have to pick and choose how we spend our dollars. So I do think that it's difficult for people across the state. If they're not baseball fans, they don't understand at all.
No.
They don't. And I get that. I think, again, where are you? What's your situation? And can you see why someone would be irritated that we are or aren't going to fund it?
Yeah.
I think you can see it from multiple perspectives. I think it's good for our state to have great competitive teams. I think there was an awful lot of argument down in Milwaukee when they redid the Buck Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
But from the Buck Stadium, that allowed them to bring in bigger acts. They do shows. They do all kinds of things. The Bucks themselves have really come around. So, you know, again, we enjoy the ride when our teams are doing well. And we don't seem to care and potentially get irritated when they're not and then wonder why we're spending any money.
But again, I always find it just interesting what our politicians can achieve bipartisan agreement on.
Yeah,
it's at the federal level. It's usually for defense spending. There's always bipartisan agreement on that. And then in the States, it's often for what I'll call corporate welfare type of projects.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think it's interesting in all the states, and I've talked about this before. But I don't know if it was Eisenhower or one of the presidents when they came out of World War II, when we switched everything into kind of this industrial machine, mm-hmm. you know, how would that affect us in the long run? And Wisconsin is no different. I mean, we have defense contractors all over Wisconsin.
Sure we do.
So when you have senators in D.C., all of our states have thousands and thousands of jobs that rely on these manufacturing companies, the industrial base, all from Marinette all the way down into southern Wisconsin. So when you have entire towns that are based around a manufacturer, it's no different than the paper industry. You take a paper mill out of one of our small towns and it almost devastated, if it did kill multiples.
Sure.
So I think the defense budget is interesting because, yes, we all want to be safe. Yes, we want to protect the world from evil. But also, there's this economic handcuff to it because we want our people at Oshkosh Truck building trucks. Mm-hmm. And we want Marinette Marine building Marines, and we need all those other companies that are building parts for them to do it. So I think it's interesting that we almost always say yes to increased defense budget spending because it is our community. Our community needs jobs. And is that healthy or not? I think you could debate that.
Well, imagine if we could move toward a genuine peacetime economy and you could have a lot of this military production go towards a civilian infrastructure. I mean, for example, suppose there was more support for high-speed rail, right? The people building the military vehicles could be building train cars.
Yeah. I think that that's one of the magic wands we don't have. I think
unfortunately.
That, yeah, the idea of having a world that isn't in need of protection or defense is probably not going to happen. We don't get to control that. But nice thought, Tony. Nice. Real nice.
Hey, if we had high-speed rail, I'd take high-speed
rail. Is another conversation that we can talk about. Yeah. That I love the idea, to be honest, of being able to jump on a train from here in Green Bay, from Appleton, and then scoot on down to Milwaukee.
But here's the thing, Chris. Huge numbers of Americans in polls say they would love something like that. So why can't we have it?
Well, because there's a big bill that goes with it. That's the bottom line. And again, we've got people that live in cities and have enjoyed traveling in cities understand the value of a rail system.
Yeah.
But you have the bulk of our state who has zero interest in that. Do you know how many people have never left the county they live in?
Isn't that amazing?
Do you know how many people don't go to Chicago because of the traffic? Look what you're missing out on because you're afraid of traffic. I had my poor 16-year-old when she first got her license. I had her drive through Chicago traffic. Through Chicago to learn.
Oh, that was an adventure, I'll bet.
Yes, at one point in time, she let go of the steering wheel and clapped three times. I said, bad idea. But you have to defeat that fear, but a lot of it is, you know, going into a dynamic where you're uncomfortable. And people don't enjoy being uncomfortable. Well, you walk into a big city. I mean, I'm a small town, you know, farm girl. You go from a small farm in central Wisconsin to downtown Chicago, and if that doesn't open up your eyes
sure does.
You know, but that's empathy. That's understanding that things are different.
Yeah.
Listen, we are here. It's our first segment. We are looking forward to former Congressman Reid Ribble coming up very soon, as soon as he lands. Thanks for being with us tonight. We are here. Rational Revolution. We'll catch you on the backside.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Mino and the Mayor.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
She walks in this morning, John's like, yeah, I told you look like somebody. I've been thinking about you. That's a little weird, John.
I didn't put it that way, Jim. No, he said she reminds me of Aunt Becky, Lori Loughlin from Full House.
Right.
Bailey, WKRP.
I don't think
yes,
so.
Completely.
Yes.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Well, hello again. This is Chris Alpha with the Rational Revolution with my friend, Dr. Tony Palmieri. I mean, that's just kind of fun to say. You earned it. We are hanging out here on our Thursday, one of the last few warm Thursdays, but the wind is picking up. Be careful out there.
Yeah, it is.
And don't forget about the deers. You know, we all love you when we say watch out for deers.
The deers.
The deers. Watch out for the deers. You know it's bad when you just drive down the road and you count red, greasy spots.
I was actually driving in this morning, and somebody was actually talking about the deers on the road, and there laid one right on the
absolutely.
Side of the road.
Oh, my absolutely. Goodness. It's like, oh, that was a semi. There's nothing left. But, there, you know, it is the season. We're in Wisconsin. Yeah. It is what it is. All right, Tony. So as we wait for Congressman Ribble, he literally touched down in Nashville at 7:06. So we are expecting him to call in any minute, but we'll just keep on gabbing.
You know, you and I had talked before the show about the issue of Wisconsinites liking to split the ticket when they vote. So they'll vote for a Democrat for one office and a Republican for another office. Yeah. You have split your ticket in the past, right?
I have. You know, and I don't think I'm that odd. I think, and again, we're talking, this is just a conversation, so there's no right or wrong. But my opinion is that the moderate / independent in Wisconsin, and there's a lot of them, and I've always been one of those people, is a believer in balance. So I look at the moderate or the independent's role in government to lean away from chaos. You lean against it to counterbalance it. And the moderate, I think, fills that role. And when we have chaos, you know, it doesn't matter what the party. For instance, and again, I'm playing the purple role.
Right.
If you have Bernie Sanders is a great example. Bernie Sanders is loved by the progressives. Loved by the progressives. The moderates, not so much, because it's too much. We look at things and think we can't just undo everything and redo. We don't. I'm afraid of that. A moderate doesn't like the extreme liberal agenda because we don't understand the math. We don't understand how we can just turn things upside down. We want things to be more environmentally friendly, but if we can't afford to pay the teachers in the schools, how do we afford to make all the buildings greener? So I look at things. So when you have somebody that's on the far edge, I have a moderate or an independent has a tendency to lean against that. Then you have the MAGA level Republican,
right.
And that's a whole nother version of crazy. And now you have all of the moderates and the independents leaning against that. So it's a matter of wanting balance. I have been somebody that is a believer of, we have two senators. We have two representatives in D.C., I like them to be one from each party. I think that's why we have a problem with Johnson, because we have Tammy, who's very strong. Tammy, and again, you know I've said this before, Tammy is not as liberal as people think. She does a good job of watching out for the industry of Wisconsin as well as the people of Wisconsin. She really, I think, does not get enough credit. And then you have Johnson, which everybody on the blue can't stand Ron Johnson.
Yeah.
And I am not a fan of his, especially in recent history. But you still have in your mind this concept of you don't want all or nothing. You want there to be compromise. And so the independent mind, the moderate mind, likes to have one of each. That's just who we are, because we aren't all one way or all another. I want to be good to people. I want to take care of people. I want to educate people. But I honestly don't want to be paying 42% of what I own in taxes. I think that's a fair statement. And I think there's a lot of people that fall into that. So we have to find balance. And moderates and independents believe in balance, which means we make decisions that sometimes drives people crazy.
Yeah.
And I will say wrong decisions at times. wrong decision. And I will put myself out there. I have made wrong decisions at the ballot box because I was not educated enough to look beyond the individual race and look at the philosophical secondary and tertiary consequences that would come from that race. And I think a lot of us, I refer to that as complacency, just not being invested in the information or in the detail enough to realize that one decision on a ballot here has an effect for the next potentially 30 years regarding the Supreme Court. Most people, I believe, are not listening to political shows. Most people are not raising their hand and running for office. And unless you are, you don't actually have all the information you need. So mistakes are made. And I think there are mistakes made in the middle that through trying to do good, harm has been done by the center because they've been so focused on being split ticket balanced voters that chaos has taken place.
Yeah,
in spite of us.
It's just it's become really difficult for, say, people that call themselves liberal Democrats. It's become really difficult for them, even if they say there's Republicans I maybe want to vote for. I mean, if you look at what has happened to the Republican Party today, it's very, very difficult for even a moderate Democrat to say I'll vote for one of those.
Right.
So like in our state, Warren Knowles was one of the great Republicans. I mean, he was like an environmentalist. Even Tommy Thompson now seems like a strong moderate.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at today's Republicans, say in the state of Wisconsin, who could a moderate Democrat even vote for? The only one I can come up with is State Senator Rob Coles from up in this region, the Green Bay region. I mean, Rob Coles was the only one recently when the Republican majority state Senate literally fired almost all of Governor Tony Evers' cabinet picks, right?
Yeah.
And Rob Coles was the only Republican senator who went against that.
Yeah.
Right. He said, we're opposing people on purely partisan, unfair grounds. So I think that is what's happened, right? It's this kind of argument is war, this hyper partisanship. And so you could see, why would a moderate Democrat vote for any Republican in that kind of situation?
Well, I think it's sad right now because I think that there are, I wouldn't refer to them as moderate Republicans. I would just refer to them as rational Republicans. It's okay, and it's anticipated that we don't agree on things. But I think that the spirit of where things are right now ends up being, this is money-driven. And in the end, if you have to have the backing of the supporters, the party, the dark money, the PACs, this is the world that we live in now. Money has to be there to back you. So if you've got the ultra-right dark money PACs pushing for what they want, and you don't, as a Republican, don't want to follow along, they're just going to threaten to primary you out.
Exactly.
So I think what's happening is that we are losing. We're losing a lot of good, rational Republicans because money is winning and money is more extreme than that. So there's a difference, I think, between those that are in position and those that are voting for those in position. Because, again, not all the detail is known out there. And you could argue on the other side as well. You could argue that that if you're on Team Blue and you don't back the conservation group or the labor group, it'd be the same issue. But I don't think that's the case. And I will say this from my opinion, from my expertise. I have been questioned by those groups last year. Mm-hmm. And I disagreed. And I told them point blank, I would rather run the risk of making you mad 15 to 20% of the time than to pretend I'm going to agree with everything you say.
Oh, that's, yeah, I like
and
that
you either
position.
Take me at that or not, but I will never be 100%er.
Yeah, I like
we
that.
We continue our conversation. It is me and Dr. Tony Palmieri, soon to join us, Congressman Reed Ribble. Welcome on back on the backside.
We all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you...
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The body of a woman abducted by Hamas during the October 7th terror attacks has been found near Gaza's El Shifa Hospital. That's according to Israeli Defense Forces.
They found the body of 65-year-old Yehudit Weiss in a building adjacent to the Al Shifa Hospital where the IDF have been conducting this raid over the last couple of days. So this is the first hostage, as far as we know, that has been found by the IDF in its operation in Gaza. And obviously this is a terrible news for her family. And it comes just as we have been hearing that there is progress in these talks, hopefully to try and reach a deal.
ABC's Patrick Grievel. Federal judge declaring a mistrial in the case against former Louisiana police officer Brett Hackinson because the jury couldn't reach a verdict. He was facing charges of violating Breonna Taylor's civil rights. The Marines say Commandant General Eric Smith has been released from inpatient care but will soon have a procedure done to repair a heart valve that doctors say contributed to his cardiac arrest. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest national Marquette poll finds Nikki Haley doing the best of the Republicans against President Biden. 55% of registered voters back Haley in a hypothetical matchup with Biden, while Donald Trump would beat Biden with 52%. The same poll shows Haley trailing Trump by more than 30 points. Wisconsin wildlife officials are expecting a smaller harvest for opening weekend of the gun deer season. The Department of Natural Resources' Jeff Pritzel says that's due to a number of factors, including the weather forecast.
Unless we get snow again like we did, and that's not an annual occurrence anymore. So if we don't get the snow we had last year, I find it'll be hard to match the numbers we had last year.
Pritzel spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons. Some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are. But we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays. Noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media network.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies. Lows around 34. West winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 43. Mainly clear sky tomorrow night. Lows around 30. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 58.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. BugTussle, we're out there because you're out there.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
If you'd like to join the Rational Revolution and engage, download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. Choose your station, WGBW or WISS, and click on the text button in the lower right-hand corner. Looking at today's issues through a politically purple lens, this is the Rational Revolution. And once again, here's Chris Elfheim.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rational Revolution. I am Chris Elfheim, and I promise to have a purple conversation, and I can't do that with just Dr. Palmieri on the line here with me. I think the right thing to do is bring in some red. So, Congressman Reed Ribble, are you with us, my friend?
I am here.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the extra effort. I know you're hopping planes and here and there. I love that you're willing to take some time and share it with us.
That's great. It's good to be with you, Chris.
Absolutely. Remember we used to share beers down the road in the office?
Yeah,
we always had to make sure you were drinking a Wisconsin one and not a Guinness.
We did.
Oh, those were good times. We would sit there and talk Social Security, and we'd talk Alzheimer's, and then we just, you know, poke fun at whoever was trying to run for office at the time. And
wow.
We had a good time.
I was trying to be gentle.
You were. You're a gentleman. All right. So we're going to bring you in on a couple of conversations. And tonight, and I didn't prep you. You have no idea what we're going to talk about, and I like it that way.
That's right. I have no idea, so I might have to make something up.
Just make it up. Just wing it. First, I want to tell you, so I shared with a conservative friend of mine from the Appleton Council the other night that you were going to be on the show this week. And I no more than got it out of my mouth, and her response was, oh, he's not even a Republican anymore. I would just like you to respond to that statement. Are you a Republican?
No, I get why people think that, because I don't support Donald Trump. And so people automatically assume that if you don't support Donald Trump, then you can't be Republican.
Right.
My contention is that Donald Trump isn't a Republican.
Yep.
And Donald Trump is a flat-out populist. He has as much in common with Bernie Sanders as he does with Ronald Reagan. but I just can't support the man. I won't vote for him if he's the nominee. But I can tell you that in the last election, every down ballot vote that I cast, other than the president, was for Republican.
Yeah.
So you can make your own determination.
Yeah, I think that's
on that.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's part of the problem. The fact that someone made that statement. I've known you for a long time, and I've known you to be a rational conservative. You're strong in who you are, but you are also looking to take positive actions wherever possible across. In fact, you were the one that said that to me one day. I think we were sitting at the Starbucks in DePere, and you said that it was your job to understand as a congressman that you are not going to agree on everything with everyone across the aisle, but go find things that you can agree on and get it done. Water.
That's correct. And it probably was in response to a question of, you know, why do people fight all the time in D.C.?
Right.
Well, what I discovered is nobody was actually looking for agreement.
Right. Right. No,
nobody actually looked for it, but I would go out and try to find it, and you could find those areas of common ground.
Yeah.
It's sad that
people make assumptions. In fact, I was at a function last night, and we had a great conversation. You had joined Emily on the show a number of months back, one of our first shows. And people had been listening to the show, and they said to me that, you know, the goal of the show is to have a purple conversation. Listen to multiple sides to try and be a better version of yourself. And when you were on that show, they came into the show assuming that you were, you know, a crazy, crazy radical Republican. And they left that show realizing that that's not true. You're actually a very civilized, rational guy. Yes, you are. And there's a lot of rational people out there. We may not all be on the same team, but that doesn't mean that we aren't trying to cause good, even though we may differ in opinions on things. That's the way that it really was meant to be. So tell me, you know, from your perspective, why are we in the chaos that we are?
Well, you know, I mean, this is the result of populism in and of itself, because populism is a movement of the people against government and against what they call the elites. It's always been that way, and that every populist wave in the country has done the same thing. And this is really driven by baby boomers, quite frankly. And the boomers have always been a bit nervous about government. They've always disliked government. And even as a conservative, I prefer a smaller footprint by government than a larger footprint by government. But it's evolved into this that everybody in D.C. is bad. All government is bad. I mean, listen, Vivek Ramaswamy probably has the most populist mentality of the group besides Donald Trump, where he's saying we should just eliminate 50% of the federal workforce.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it based on their Social Security number. So if you get an odd Social Security number,
wow,
you're out. And if you get an even, you're in. Which this is like the dumbest thing a person could possibly do.
There's a lot of dumb. There's a lot of dumb going on. I don't know who it was that stood up. Somebody was saying last night, somebody stood up and said there are dumb days and then there are dumber days. There's a lot of dumb and dumber days going on right now in politics.
So, Congressman,
it certainly feels that way from the outside.
Yeah.
Congressman, what did you feel about the way Kevin McCarthy was deposed? Did you think that the Republicans that engineered that, was that an example of the populism you're talking about? Were they out of line in your view?
I don't know that it was an example of populism. I think it was this basically was a personal vendetta that some of these folks had against Speaker McCarthy. And so they levered a rule change that they demanded when they gave him the job. And that rule change was that any one member of the chamber can make a motion to vacate the chair. And that's a privileged motion, meaning it must be voted on.
Right.
And so I would hope now with Speaker Johnson that they change that rule and maybe have to have a third of the majority or something do it. Because, you know, these same people that went after McCarthy, I call them the crazy eight, they are also the same people that will have all over Twitter this concept of the uniparty, how there's no difference between Republicans and Democrats, but they simultaneously joined with 208 Democrats to oust the Speaker.
Right.
And so it was fine for them to work with Democrats when it meets their end.
Yeah.
But if anybody else votes for the Democrat for anything else that they don't like, then it's all, well, that person's a member of the uniparty. Or like this lady said to you the other night, well, Ribble's not even a Republican anymore, because if you can find any agreement at all, then you're on the opposite side. But I think it was a horrible move, and it threw the House in chaos for 3 weeks.
Yeah, sure did.
And, you know, and the whole argument was, well, we want to pass our individual appropriation bills. Well, now they bring them to the floor with an open rule, so they have all these crazy amendments, like we're gonna remove someone's pay down to a dollar and all this nutty stuff that they do, and then they can't pass them.
Right, because they're crazy.
And so we're at the exact same place we were when McCarthy was in charge. The only difference was that McCarthy knew they couldn't pass them. That's why he didn't bring them to the floor.
You know, I feel like when you're out on doors now, it feels like the number one thing you hear is about we're not getting anything. No one's happy. The Republicans aren't happy because they don't think they're getting what they want. The Democrats aren't happy because they're not getting what they want. No one's getting anything. So the lack of anything seems to be the problem. So what's, from your opinion, what's the solution? As somebody who was down there, what do you think needs to change?
Yeah. Well, I mean, ultimately, the voters are in charge of this. And you know, it's easy to throw it back at them, but they're the ones that elected Donald Trump. They're the ones that put this House representatives or this Senate in charge. And at the end of the day, they want their member of Congress to be as angry as they are, while they simultaneously cannot really define what they're actually angry about.
And whose fault is it that they're angry?
Whose fault is it that they're angry?
Yeah.
Well, I think when you give them everything they want, which in fact is what we've done, that's why we've got a $34 trillion debt today. You give them everything they want, they just want more, while simultaneously saying we can't have all this deficit spending until, of course, they want to vote for something they want.
Yeah. And, I've said that a lot. People are very selfish. They really want everything that they want, and they never want to give anything. And this goes at local, state, and national level. We are all selfish beings. We want what we need. We want what we want, and we don't want to give anything up, but we don't want to pay for anything that we don't see as value to us. And we're all guilty of it.
And, right. And I mean, here's the real dilemma that I really believe the country's facing right now, is there is going to come a period of austerity, and it will be forced upon us by, you know, the dollar may lose its global currency status. The government may not be able to afford the interest on the national debt anymore because their bonds are worthless. or the interest rate on the bonds are so high that they're now paying $1 trillion or more than $1 trillion in interest. And so austerity will be forced on us in a way that would not have had to have happened if back in 2010 or 11, when I was elected, we could have done some of the restraining things that needed to happen then. But this populist moment we're in, and here's an example of where Trump agrees with Joe Biden, for example. Well, you can't touch Social Security, you can't touch Medicare, you can't touch veteran benefits. Well, these programs are bankrupt in the country.
Yeah, and we can talk about that a little bit. I mean, you and I have had many conversations about Social Security and Medicare. I know that you have tried your very best. The entire time you were in D.C., you worked at finding solutions. I know you did. We talked through those plans. And I think, I work with money for a living. So, you know, the financial world is my world, especially in the retiree area. So Social Security and all that stuff is very important. But we're to a point where no one is allowed to talk about it. No one in D.C. is allowed to talk about the fact that we have to do something. We have to make some changes. Anyone my age knows that Social Security, Medicare will change. We know it. But no one's allowed to bring it up. I don't care if you're on the side of the blue or the red without the money of the PACs on the opposite side slinging mud saying, oh, look what they're going to take away. And it puts everybody in a situation of not being able to be honest about it. We do have an issue. We have to fix it.
That's correct. We have to fix it.
Yeah.
And there's so much misinformation out there about it, particularly about Social Security, about how the government stole all this money from the trust fund. The fact of the matter is the government receives the payments from the workers. They immediately pay out the benefits. If there is a surplus in that pay period, that money gets invested in government bonds because they're not allowed to invest it in stocks, but sticking it in a mattress someplace and not getting any interest is stupid. Right. And then people say, well, you see, they took the money. And there's just so much misinformation about it. And, well, you just have to raise taxes. Well, that'll get you part of the way there.
Right.
You know, and to me, if something is not politically feasible, it is not feasible.
Right.
So the Democrats always wanted to just raise taxes to meet that shortfall. You know, that's not politically feasible because Republicans won't vote for just that. Republicans only want to change benefits and not add any taxes. Well, that's not feasible because Democrats won't vote for it.
Right.
So when I wrote my legislation, I wrote a bill specifically designed so that both parties would hate it.
Yeah.
And if both parties hate it, you probably hit the sweet spot. I raised taxes and I modified benefits. And in some cases, I raised benefits.
Yeah.
You know, senior will be living with less than 125% of poverty.
Well, and it's a big deal. And again, the last time you and I talked about Social Security was probably, when did you retire? Was it 5 years
2017.
Ago? 2017. Mm-hmm. So it's been since 2017. And in the plan, one of the plans that you had, it was only going to affect, you know, people that were 50 and under or something like that. It would have been, again, a generational gap no one in force would be affected. But every 5 years that we wait, we lose more than 5 years in time to remedy. So the more time we waste in not talking about it and not finding the number, whether it's a 50-year-old, whether it's a 55-year-old, tell us, because we have planning to do. At some point in time, it's going to have to change. And again, I'm not about taking what you cannot mess with anyone that is within, you know, a sniff of being retired. You can't do it. We have to find the break point where we can say to a certain generation from that point on, you're going to have benefits that are a little bit different. Medicare is another issue.
That's correct. Yeah.
And Medicare, I'll tell you, what they're doing with Medicare is hiding stuff. It used to be very straightforward, and now they're sneaking stuff through the gaps, and I think that's a sneaky way into doing it. I don't like that either. We got to head into a break. Hold on. We're going to come back on the other
Medicare
side.
Medicare is a bigger problem.
It is a bigger problem. Come back with us on the other side of the break. We have Congressman Reed Ribble with us. We have a nice long segment to finish up with you, so hang on there, Congressman. Everybody else, come on back at the break.
We'll be right back. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back, everybody. Thursday night with the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Alfine. My friend Tony Palmieri is here with us. And on the line, we have Congressman Reed Ribble, my friend, with us. Hey, we got a text in, Reed. I want to read it to you. It says, I am a split-ticket independent. That being said, sadly, the last two Republicans I could bring myself to vote for were the late, great Mike Ellis and you, Mr. Ribble. Will you ever run for office again? That's from Jim in Appleton, our friend. I know the answer to that, but go ahead and let him know.
That's really kind. Yeah, that's really kind. But no, I'm not going to run. I'm not going to run again. And to be honest with you, I don't even think I could get elected again. But
wow!
But that's okay. That's a really kind statement to make.
You know, you did, I would say, voluntarily term limit yourself. I did. Yeah. Do you think that we need formal term limits in the U.S. Congress? Would that help?
I'm not sure anymore because when you do a deep dive on the data, what the data tells you is that the average term or time that a member is in the U.S. House of Representatives is 10 years.
Oh, is that right?
So okay. that's 5 terms. And the average in the Senate is 12 years. And so, but you have a cadre of people that are there for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that then hold all the power and they won't give it up. Right. And so it kind of perpetuates this bad system. And When they put in Kevin McCarthy as Speaker and then Mike Johnson afterwards, one of the big things they were pushing for was a reform that would devolve power back to the members and remove some of the power from the Speaker's office.
Right.
And I think some of those ideas were good.
Yeah.
And if in fact they can get power back to members, then I would have less concern about term limits because people could feel like I went there, I got something done, and I left. As opposed to going there, not getting anything done, and just leaving in frustration and being filled with cynicism.
You know, one of the things that you and I would talk about in the past was the idea of changing around the terms themselves. With a two-year yeah. term, you barely know where you're going to your meetings, and you have to immediately start raising money for your next campaign. There's really no time to actually get anything done. You have to get acclimated and then start rerunning again. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, what happens, and I know this from personal experience because I was in what was a purple district at the time. The district was 50.6% R versus 49.4% D, how people voted.
That sounds like a well-drawn
when I was
map.
Elected. So it was a real true purple district, and I defeated a Democrat incumbent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But those swing districts like Wisconsin 8, it's less swingy today. It's much redder today. But when it was a swing district, those members have to spend so much time out raising money that they're not as involved in policymaking as they want to be.
Right.
And so who's involved in policymaking are the people in the bright, bright red districts or bright, bright blue districts that have either been gerrymandered or by choice of where people live. You've got a real red district, so you've got a really red, ultra-conservative guy or a real blue, ultra-liberal person. And they're the ones that actually, because they don't have to raise much money, they're the ones that can be working on everything. And so things get pushed to the parameters more than what it normally would.
Hmm. And, how do we get the money out? How do we get the money out?
To me, the best way to get the money out would be a very simple change in the rules. And that would be to do this, that no member of Congress can receive a corporate PAC from anyone in an industry of which they have oversight in. So if you're in the Financial Services Committee, you couldn't get money from the financial services industry, from banking and investments and all that kind of stuff. If you're on agriculture, you couldn't get money donated to you from farming and timber and all that kind of stuff. And so, because what happens is as soon as those industries see that you're on a committee, they start throwing fundraisers for you right away.
See, Congressman, what you just said, I believe 99% of Americans would support what you just said. Right? And yet, why?
Yeah, it'd be pretty simple to do, too, wouldn't it?
Exactly. So why can't we have it if that many people want that and it's so commonsensical?
Well, I think that sounds like a very rational step forward. However, I don't think it really solves the bigger problem. I mean, how do you feel about the Citizens United? How do you feel about the fact that there's so much dark money going on?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question, and you're not going to like my answer, just because I know you're not going to like the answer. let me put you this way. The answer will be unsatisfying to you. But the answer is I felt that Citizens United was properly decided, and here's why. Virtually every major media company in the U.S. is essentially a for-profit company. NBC News, Fox News, Newsmax, ABC News, they're all for-profit entities.
No.
They have unlimited political speech. Unlimited. And yet my roofing company had no free speech on the political side. And so what the Supreme Court said is, hold it here. You can't have it both ways. We can't have one industry having unlimited ability to spend money on political speech and another company having no right at all.
Well, then wouldn't the solution be to...
If any company's going to have the right to have free speech, they all must have the right to have free speech.
This is great. This is why we're going to have you back on, because we could go on for hours. We have 2 minutes left on this one. But wouldn't it just be easier to just make the news be the news and kind of Walter Cronkite style, where they're only allowed to share the news instead of the nonsense?
I would actually watch that.
Right, me too. Because what we have for news, and there's so many stations that say they're news, but they're not news. They're opinions or their own version of, like us, we're not the news. Yeah. We're just a conversation, right? So I understand your philosophy. I understand what you're saying, but that then assumes that everything that's ever said on the news is then paid for the other team. And I don't think that's valid, but there is an issue. I think we can agree there's too much money. There's too much money going on, and that really shouldn't be the end. That shouldn't be the end, right? I mean, you know me. I mean, I'm here in Wisconsin. $2.7 million on a state Senate race? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah, bizarre.
That's insane. Yeah. And that's buying power. That's buying position. Yeah. And we shouldn't be working that way. Listen, I also
blame the voter a little bit here, because they have to be able to swim through a lot of this misinformation that's being put out by paid political ads.
Yeah, there is ignorance, and then there is willful ignorance, and one kind of feeds into it. Listen, I really, really respect you. I enjoy having you on the show. I look forward to our next one. I know we have a calendar of events. We're going to have you back. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. This has been The Rational Revolution. Chris Alfheim. We have Dr. Tony Palmieri and the fabulous former Congressman Reed Ribble. Thanks for being here tonight. Be safe. Watch for deer. Take care.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Football season is back, and no matter which home team you root for, there's one thing everyone in the Midwest can agree on. If you're tailgating or grilling at home, nothing beats a freshly baked Village Hearth bun. An old-fashioned hot dog bun is the perfect accompaniment for a brat or a hot dog and all the toppings your little heart desires. And for the best burgers, you just can't beat the Village Hearth classic bun. So head to the store and pick up some Village Hearth buns. The weekend is almost here.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.